He that loveth his neighbour hath fulfilled the law. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We have entered into the month of November, which is dedicated, of course, to the holy souls in purgatory. And it is this devotion that we want to take this month to be reminded of our need to have always before us, always be an important part of our own lives. Because to be devoted and to make offerings and prayers for the holy souls, this is a part of that fulfillment of what our Lord talks about in, or what St. Paul talks about in the epistle today, that it is that part of true charity which is served by our actions and prayers for those poor souls. When you think about it, it is pure charity. There is no personal gain to be had from it. Rather, it takes time, it takes effort, it takes focus from me. But it is done for our true neighbor, those in the church suffering, those whom we know are awaiting their deliverance but are counting on our assistance in that, those who are truly helpless themselves to be able to assist themselves, relying purely on the kindness and generosity of those who are still alive. And so we do so not for our own gain, but for the gain of God, that God may gain souls in paradise from purgatory, and that our neighbor who is there may attain the highest of rewards. But for us, there is that human frailty that comes in, which is why the reminder of it all is so important. The human frailty that looks and thinks to ourselves about so many different distractions of our times and can easily forget about what we can do for the holy souls. Moreover, it is something that we do not see the poor souls in purgatory, and so it's easy to slip our minds to keep them in our prayers and to make sacrifices for them. And in addition, we ourselves can sometimes find ourselves wondering, how much good am I able to do? I'm just a little person. I'm not able to offer huge sacrifices. My prayers are feeble and distracted at times, and I just don't know if I am doing all that much good. This type of thought, this is what can dissuade us or discourage us and cause us to sort of fall away from that fervor for those souls. But we must be careful not to fall into such temptations, because despite the fact that we can see examples of these saints who are able to perform huge feats of sacrifice and long hours of prayers, and we know that we don't even measure up to those at all, at the same time, those are extraordinary people set aside for extraordinary things. We ourselves, our offerings, each little piece does far more good than you can imagine it doing, because it is an offering of ourselves to Almighty God, and God, in his infinite mercy, applies great graces to those in purgatory. Here are a couple of examples of just that. The Abbe Lambert tells of the story of a religious sister whom he knew. This sister was unremarkable in every way. She didn't have unbelievable stamina. She wasn't able to offer great penances. Her ability to pray longer than others was not anything extraordinary. However, she was a very good sister, because knowing her abilities, knowing her what she was able to do, she focused on doing them well. She was very regular in the practice of the rule of the convent. She was very regular in being attentive as much as she could be to her duties and to her prayer life and to whatever she could give to Almighty God. And as it would happen, as it should be in various in any institute of religion, that there is this communal existence where they the sisters appreciate each other and help each other and all work to the common end. And in that, being still human, there is some whom you are closer to than others. And this one sister, her best friend in the common, the one whom she had the most affinity towards and spent the most time talking with, she one day realized that she had died. And when she had died, the sister made it a point in her mind, a resolution, that she would apply herself to do all that she could in order to liberate her dear friend's soul as swiftly as possible. And so she remembered her in her prayers. And so she would take time and do spiritual activities and actions for her benefit. And one such time, she was working outdoors on a very hot summer day. And at a certain point, she realized that she was thirsty and wanted to get a drink of water. She came over to the well, she drew it up and poured it into a glass. And just as she was about to raise the glass to her lips and take a drink, she thought to herself, "My friend, she needs my prayers, and I can offer a sacrifice for her." And so she decided to pour out the glass of water and offer her thirst for a little while longer, for the benefit of her soul, the soul of her poor friend. That night, when she had completed the rest of the day's tasks and she found herself ready to retire, she knelt at the foot of her bed for the last of her evening prayers before going to sleep. And as she knelt there, all of a sudden, right before her, her friend came and to appear to her. And when she arrived, the sister was astounded to witness upon her face this great element of joy there. Joy and gratitude upon her face. And her friend expressed to her that she was so thankful that the sister had offered up her glass of water for the benefit of her soul. The sister remarked, "It was such a small little sacrifice. I only went without water for a little while longer. I only allowed myself to sustain a thirst for a period of time. How is it that you are so grateful for such a small action of mine?" And the soul in purgatory said, "I know that it was truly an offering that you made to pour that water out. And when you poured the water back into the well from the cup, you should know that it came as an entire bath of cool water, which tempered the flames of purgatory which I was in." And so great relief was given to her friend, and the sister was encouraged onward to continue performing these little sacrifices. Another example is that of Brother Corrado. Brother Corrado, like that sister, was a simple religious. Nothing extraordinary about him, nothing that really stood out, but he was pious and he was devoted to his vocation and serving God in whatever capacity he was called to do so. And he, for himself, had a regular practice that every day he would offer 5 decades of the rosary for the holy souls in purgatory. He loved this devotion and never missed that offering to give back to the poor souls. But one day, while he was working, it came to a point in time where he was going to be able to lay aside the implements of his labor and to pick up the rosary for that time of offering the 5 decades. And when he reached into the pocket of his habit, he found there nothing. His rosary was missing from his pocket. He scoured the area where he had been working. He looked all over the convent. He looked everywhere he had been, everywhere he had walked, everywhere he could think of. And he couldn't find the rosary. And It was his only rosary that he had, and it was one that was very special to him, not because of the material thing. That's when he had no real strong material attachments, but rather because he knew that that rosary, by praying along it, it carried with it indulgences, and those indulgences were things that he was applying each time to those poor souls in purgatory. And so he felt so sad that he didn't have the means to be able to continue to doing so right at that moment. But sad as he was, he set out and he began to offer other devotions until he could find a replacement for his rosary. After a few days had gone by in this manner, one night he too found himself in his cell, his room, there alone, praying in the night. And as he was kneeling there, he began to hear a noise. That noise started off quiet. It was a small tinkling. And as it grew a little bit louder, he thought to himself, I recognize that. I've heard that before. What is that noise? And soon, as it grew in volume, it dawned on him. It was the sound that his rosary would make as he prayed it, if it moved about and clung together, because he had various metals attached to it. And as such, he knew it had a distinct timbre, and that was what he was hearing. But how? He didn't have the rosary, and there was nobody else in the room with him. He opened his eyes from his prayers, and he looked about, and then, when he raised his eyes up to the corner of the room, he saw there, suspended in the air, held by an invisible hand, the very rosary which he had lost. It slowly came down to him, and was handed back over into his little hands. And the brother was filled with joy at being able to pray those 5 decades again for the poor souls. You see, those poor souls whom he had the habit of praying for, they realized how much they benefited from those indulgenced rosaries. And they made it a point to find his beads and to return them to him so that they could continue to proffer from this generous offering of a simple rosary in their honor. So, for you, remember, it is not insignificant the things that you are capable of doing for the poor souls in purgatory. Every single little action, every single little offering is an opportunity to build upon a treasury of graces and of relief and of deliverance of these poor suffering souls. It's just a matter of seizing those opportunities when they present themselves. Think of all that we have before us in ways of doing so. I was edified to see this the last couple of days during the Totius Quotius, how many people went in and out to gain those indulgences for the poor souls. But we also understand that we have, during this time frame, the octave of All Saints Day, the opportunity to continue gaining a plenary indulgence for the poor souls in purgatory, one each and every single day of that octave, by simply stopping off at a cemetery and offering up a prayer, any prayer, even mental prayer, there within the confines of a cemetery. Plenary indulgence gained of 8 days, in which we can do it each and every day. We also have coming up, for instance, 40 hours. How powerful do you think your humble prayers are, not only when they're offered, but then offered before, right at the foot of the feet of our Lord upon the altar there, exposed in the Blessed Sacrament? How much do you think our Lord rewards you for making that additional effort to come and be present there in the church, to find and seek out for yourself that period of time of quiet, to find yourself there upon your knees to look upon only Him, your God, and to remember in those moments the holy souls, great treasury comes from the altar, your masses that you attend, the holy communions that you receive, if you're in those intentions, you include the poor souls in purgatory, the blood of Almighty God shed upon the cross for the forgiveness of sins, also acts as a laver to wash away the stain of sins and to bring them into eternal paradise all the more quickly. The fact that you yourself have a rosary in your pocket, the fact that you yourself live a regular life that has opportunities each and every day, if you just recognize them for what they are and seize them when they appear, times when you can offer a little sacrifice or self-denial, times when you can offer even a simple invocation or an ave, times in which you have duties which you must perform, and you can either go about doing them as just part of your day, or you can sanctify them by making them an offering to Almighty God. Seize the opportunities, serve the poor souls, and find yourself with an army of friends in heaven who will intercede to one day have you join them as well. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.